Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. It is segment number 2 of day number 18 in the courtroom, the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's head there now.
On a Bay City place. What's the nature of the objection again, Mr. Harpootlian?
Your Honor, there's several bases. One, that was a leading question, but if you get past that. Secondly, we had an agreement, which he complied with on direct examination, to have him say what happened there in summary fashion and not go into a quoting piece, even though we believe, and if you look at these medical records, he's showing positive for barbiturates and opioids, many of which were administered by the hospital. We believe the doctors will say he was not competent to give any sort of voluntary statement. And he was not advised of Miranda warnings. He wasn't in any way, obviously wasn't in custody. But we believe that we're entitled to a hearing on competence to give a statement if he's gonna go further on this. And to do so, we're gonna need the doctors from Savannah here to testify what his condition was. So perhaps we should adjourn this and come back on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week to finish it.
Your Honor, the sum total of my questions was specifically in response to the cross-examination. I was not going to ask him to go back to relate what he related to Agent Kelly, which again, they had already agreed for us to do in summary fashion. It was simply going to be questions that he was not in custody. He was voluntarily agreed to talk, and his questions were subject matter appropriate, and he appeared to understand the questions. That was going to be the extent of it, and it was in direct response to their putting in the records and discussing the injuries that are reflected in those records. If that was the extent of my questioning, not to reiterate the summary to which, frankly, they had already agreed to allowing us to do, which we did yesterday.
If that's all he's going to ask, I withdraw my objection.
All right, very good. Let's bring the jury in. Stand and get a stretch. Yes, sir.
That's what we're agreeing, if that's all he's going to ask. But if that question leads to another question, leads to another question.
Right, so I'll stand right. For a few minutes, moments. The objection is withdrawn. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. All right, going back to the question that I asked, when you interviewed, and I'm just asking these particular questions, when you interviewed the defendant on September 4th, that was the day of the roadside shooting, correct?
Correct.
Did he voluntarily agree to talk to you?
Yes.
Was he in custody in any way?
He was not in custody.
Did he respond appropriately to your questions?
He responded appropriately and consistently to the answers to my questions that were given on the, 911 and on the to Hampton County deputies.
Did he appear to understand your questions?
Yes.
And did he respond appropriately to the subject matter of those questions?
Yes.
When you interviewed him on September 6th, he was still in the hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
And at that time, did he voluntarily agree to talk to you?
Yes.
Was he in custody at any point?
He was not.
Did he respond appropriately to your questions?
He did.
Did he appear to understand your questions?
He understood the questions and, again, gave consistent responses to the interviews from September 4th, from the 911 call, and from the video from the ambulance.
All right. And his answers related appropriately to the subject matter of your questions?
Yes, the side of the room.
You were asked a little bit about the circumstances of the telephone interview on September 13th, 2021, correct?
Yes.
And did you want to do a telephone interview or did you want to speak to him in person?
No, our initial inquiry was to go to where he was at. We did not know his location. They took him out of state. Our intention was to go meet with them wherever they had him to conduct that interview. When those plans did not materialize, time was of the essence. When they called us and agreed to have the telephone interview, we made an investigative decision to agree to that and conduct the interview over the phone.
That time period between September 6th and 7th, when all the developments you testified to yesterday on the side of the road took place, and September 13th, was SLED just sitting around doing nothing, or were y'all actively attempting to further question the defendant?
We were absolutely actively in working the active investigation. We were actively attempting to make contact to have that interview and make that take place.
And it was not till September 13th that the defense agreed, but only through a telephone interview. Is that correct?
Mr. Harpooly had called me on the 13th, and he said, "Hey, we have a short amount of time. We can do this. Can we make it happen?" So we had to make it happen, and within about 30 minutes notice. So Agent Albayalde and I got to a place where we can conduct the interview, and the interview occurred.
And when y'all had that phone interview that the jury heard yesterday, at the beginning, they put limitations on the subject matter of what could be discussed.
Yes, they advised that they would only discuss the side of the road shooting, that the Moselle incident and the financial crimes were off limits.
Ultimately, some financial information was discussed, is that correct?
That is correct.
But Moselle never was, is that right?
Correct.
You were asked about ultimately when he was taken into custody, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you remember roughly what date that was?
I don't have the booking paperwork. I don't remember what specific date. I took him into custody twice, so I don't know what date.
And that was after he had finished that rehab stint. Is that correct, to your understanding?
Yes. We took him in custody once on the Almeda property. We also took him in custody a second time when we went to Orlando to extradite.
Well, what you were just asked about by Mr. Harpootley, and when he returned to South Carolina, that was the first time ever that he had been taken into custody, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was for charges related to the side of the road?
Yes.
Thank you, Senior Special Agent Kelly. Nothing further.
Thank you.
Questions. That second time you took him into custody, do you know when that was?
I don't have the exact date in front of me. I apologize.
If I told you October 16th with that of 2021, would that seem appropriate?
I believe it was in the month of October 2021. Okay.
And tell this jury, how long has he been out of jail since October 16th of 2021? I mean, did he make bond?
I don't believe so. No,
he hasn't. Okay, so he's been in jail since October 16th.
Objection 401. Objection sustained.
What opportunity has he had since October 16th of 2021 to manipulate witnesses, to manipulate evidence, to manipulate anything in this case? What opportunity? Go ahead.
There's an objection.
I'm sorry, what's this objection?
Objection 401, Your Honor.
And response.
Well, Your Honor, no question he's been in jail since October 6th.
Your legal response to the objection. The 401 is the objection, relevance, and your response.
My response is that they have him, they're trying to portray him as this manipulative person, and he's not got the ability to manipulate anything after October 16th.
Objection is sustained.
As not relevant.
Yes, sir. Inappropriate argument to the jury.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Yes,
sir. Now, did you tell anyone in his family the reason you wanted to see him while he was in rehab was to show him a picture of a truck?
The conversations about the picture of the truck. We obtained the picture of the truck on and around.
Excuse me. If you would just answer yes or no, and then you can explain your answer. We're going to go down this trail, and if you say no, then I'm done. If you say yes, then I'm going to ask you when you did it. And we don't have to go through this back and forth for the next 10 minutes. Did you tell anybody in his family you wanted to see him in rehab just to show him a picture, among other things, just to show him a picture of a truck?
I believe that was one of the items we wanted to discuss with Mr. Murdoch.
Okay. And so you're giving the impression that at that point you still believed him and you just wanted to show him a picture of a truck.
401, Your Honor.
Relevance? Really?
Let me hear that question again.
You indicated to a member of his family you knew was communicating with him that all you wanted to do was show him a picture of a truck.
Back to the forum, Your Honor.
It's cross-examination.
Thank you. Did you communicate?
What's the response?
I asked the question.
Could you repeat the question, please? I'm sorry.
Are you a senior special agent?
Yes, sir, I am.
Senior Special Agent Kelly, did you communicate to a member of Mr. Murdaugh's family, Randy Murdaugh, that all you wanted to do was show him a picture of a truck? That was paramount to you, and that's what you communicated to Mr. Murdaugh.
Objection 401, Your Honor.
Objection is overruled.
The question you just asked me is that, and I responded to, that was one of the things. That was not the only thing. You know, we knew the identity of Curtis Smith. We knew the truck that Mr. Smith.
I didn't ask you what else you knew. I asked you.
Ask the witness to be allowed to complete his answer, Your Honor.
Okay. You may continue your response.
We wanted to meet with Mr. Murdoch to show him images of the truck. We wanted to show him to see. At this point, we suspected he was not telling the truth. And we wanted to see if he would continue to not tell to continue to lie to us about not knowing the existence of Curtis or the truck, or if he would, you know, show some type of clarity. And
so, and this goes to sort of the same issue. When you wanted to see him, with the exhibits I just introduced. Okay. When you wanted to see him and you contacted me, I indicated he was in detox, right?
Objection sustained.
Were you aware that he was in detox in Atlanta?
I was aware that he was out of state, and based on the information you told me, and I took you at your word, that he was seeking treatment in an out-of-state facility.
Okay. And did I indicate to you, or did anybody indicate to you, in detox you need an uninterrupted period to get off the drugs?
I believe that is what you explained to me.
Okay. And that he wouldn't be competent to communicate until he'd been there was some hospital records. Maybe I walked away with him. He would not be competent to speak with you until the doctor said he was competent, right?
On the morning of on the September 4th incident, he consumed opioids that morning. He was not detoxing or coming off those drugs. He did not appear to be under the influence of any narcotics when we met with him in the hospital. He was on his cell phone, he was walking, he was talking, he was coherent. He was the victim of a crime, the only witness that we were aware of for that crime. So we obtained a statement from him so he could tell us what happened.
You would concede he'd been shot in the head. I don't want to plow old ground, but he had a head wound, fractured skull.
Objection asked and answered.
Objection sustained.
Okay. Did you ask a doctor if he was competent to speak with you?
Again, those medical records, the doctors would not.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you if you talked to a doctor and said, is he competent to talk to us? Did you do that?
Mr. Harpootlian.
Would you just say yes or no and we can move on?
I'd like to ask the witness allowed to answer the question and object to the form.
Let me answer the question, yes or no.
Could you repeat the question?
Did you speak to one of his physicians or any medical personnel and ask them if he was competent to speak with you in the hospital?
I did not.
Okay. Now let's look at part of the records that are in evidence. And there was drug testing done on this day, correct?
Again, they did not discuss with me his medical records. Mr. Harpootlian, they didn't talk to me about his medical records.
And you didn't ask them, did you?
Did you ask them? The testing that was
being done. Did you ask them?
We did not ask to discuss specific aspects of Mr. Murdoch's medical condition. We had to subpoena the records with a court order to have access to them.
So
they will not discuss openly his medical records with us.
Did you ask a doctor? That's repetitive. But if you had asked a doctor, they would have told you, according to these records, that he was positive for barbiturates and positive for opioids, would they not?
They would have told us.
Objection sustained.
Were you, according to the records that are in evidence, were you aware that he was on opioids and he had a positive test for opioids and benzos?
Once we have subpoenaed
Would you please answer the yes or no?
Once we got the records,
would
we learned...
Would you answer yes or no?
Your Honor, I would object to him badgering the witness. The witness is entitled to answer the question.
You may respond as you see fit. Go ahead.
At the time of September 4th, we did not ask the medical doctors or the medical professionals any information about his condition because they would not discuss it with us. So if I had asked, they would not have discussed it. So we did not ask. When we obtained the medical records through court order, we were able to review them and learn after the fact the diagnosis.
Would you still have, if you'd had the medical records, would you have still gone forward with questioning knowing he had opioids and benzodiazepines in his blood system?
At that point, he was a victim of a crime. He was the only witness to a shooting that we were currently investigating. I would have asked those questions, and when I found that they were consistent with the two other statements he had already given, it would have allowed us to move forward with the investigation.
Beg the court's indulgence. Thank you.
You may step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let me call your next witness.
May it please the court, Your Honor. The state calls Special Agent Peter Rudofsky.
Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall be back?
Yes.
If you would please be seated, state your full name for the record, and spell your last name. Okay? Thank you.
Special Agent Peter Rudofsky, that's R-U-D-O-F-S-K-I, and it's pronounced Rudolph and then ski.
Agent Rudofsky, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. If you would, tell the jury just a little bit about yourself. Give us a little quick history of where you grew up, where you went to school, and how you ultimately ended up with your current position.
I'm originally from Oakland County, Michigan, Metro Detroit area. Became a reserve deputy in 2015, a reserve officer with Bay City Department of Public Safety while I was attending Saginaw Valley State University to get my bachelor's degree. And then went on to work at Oakland County Sheriff's Office as a special deputy. Graduated in 2017 at Saginaw Valley State University with a criminal justice degree. And then in 2017, moved to South Carolina, worked for Department of Public Safety. In 2020, came to the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, where I am currently. Began in the Undercover Vice Unit, worked in the Undercover Vice Unit until October of 22, where I currently am a special agent assigned to investigative services.
All right, and that was when again?
That was October of 22 is when I have my new position.
At some point in that position in SLED Investigative Services, did you get involved in the investigation of the murders of Maggie and Paul Murdoch at Moselle?
I did. November of 21 is when I was brought on to assist the Lowcountry region with this case.
November of 21 or November 22?
21.
And let's talk a little bit more just about some of the experience you've had as a law enforcement officer. Have you had any experience with or had any training with using the FBI CASH program?
I did. I took a basic 16-hour cell site analysis course, which allowed me to use their system CASTVIS, which is if you saw Matt Wild's presentation, the mapping system and the plotting, it allows me to use that system and kind of do a basic level operation of it.
And what has been your kind of your primary focus of your involvement, at least in the investigation after you got involved in November 2021? And to be fair, that was November 2021. You were not working in investigative services when the Moselle event happened in June of 21. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So when you came on in November of 21, what's kind of been your main, one of your main focuses and main assignments?
The main focus was to take all of the various forms of data. There's, you know, a lot of phones, a lot of different data, and take all of that and put it into a readable timeline that you could start from, you know, the beginning of the day to the end of the day and see everything with all those different phones and different, you know, media sources all in one document.
Stand by for me just real quick. I'm going to show you what's already been admitted into evidence as a defense exhibit, Defense Exhibit 60, that was entered a long time ago in this trial. And do you recognize that? It's already in evidence.
I do.
All right. And what is that? Tell the jury what that is, please.
This would have been a rough draft or working draft of my timeline. I have a date of 1/12/23 at 3 p.m. was an updated time on this.
All right. And that was, who prepared that document, though, that was put in by the defense?
This was prepared by myself.
And was that provided to the defense a week or so or sometime prior to trial?
It was.
All right. And on that particular document, does it say that it is a working draft?
It does on the top here. It's going to have in yellow working draft. And then as you go through the document, it's going to have the same yellow on the top working draft and draft across the document.
All right. And as you have, how long have you been working on this document right here?
Roughly about a year on this document.
And as new data came in, new data has been analyzed from various sources that have been put forward to this jury, has that been incorporated into your timeline here?
It has.
All right. And since the time that this was initially prepared, has there been additional information added to it and that document continue to be worked on?
There has.
All right. And has that been provided to the defense as well?
It has.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 520 and see if you recognize this document.
I do. This is going to be the full timeline. This is going to be the latest copy.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as 519, and do you recognize that document?
I do.
All right, tell the jury what that is.
This is going to be a condensed timeline of this document here. Instead of having the whole day, it's going to have roughly from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. on June 7th.
2021?
2021.
Your Honor, this time I would offer States 519 and 520 into evidence.
No objection. They are admitted.
can get back to those in a second. All right, now you mentioned before that you had had some training in using the FBI CAS program, is that correct?
That is correct.
And during the course of this investigation, actually fairly recently, did additional information come in related to what you've been working on?
That is correct.
And explain that to the jury. What information came in?
So on Friday, I received a call.
Which Friday?
Would have been last Friday.
Right.
From Attorney General Conrad that GM discovered some new data. I initially did a search warrant back in March of last year. No data was returned to us from OnStar. We get a call saying that they have data and that they're going to be sending it to me. I received an email on this past Saturday with 3 Excel files of data from GM.
All right, and tell the jury generally what was that data?
There was a lot of data in it. Mostly it was a lot of latitude and longitude plots. There was speed data in there and a lot of data that when you start your car up, you might see like your engine lights and all that, those codes and stuff. A lot of the codes was on the data.
And for what vehicle was this for?
This is for the 2021 Suburban driven by Alex Murdaugh.
Had GM previously responded to law enforcement inquiry that there was no such data?
That is correct. All we got was basic subscriber data for OnStar.
And when had they responded with that information?
I believe it was March 18th.
Of
2022. Yes.
And then during the course of this trial, they contacted and said, oh, wait, we found something.
That is correct.
All right. And since that time, have you downloaded that data into the CAS program and analyzed it in that fashion?
I have. The CAS data is pretty much a tool that you can take different latitude, longitude, and different kind of data points, put it in the system in an Excel file, and it pretty much plots it and paints a nice picture for you.
All right. And you have you worked in this case as you've been synthesizing the data from various sources? Have you worked or synthesized the data that came from Engineer Falfuski with the FBI?
Yes, sir.
And remind the jury who Falfuski is again, please.
He is a vehicle engineer from the FBI out of Washington, D.C., and he's the one that took the telemetry unit out of Alex Murdaugh Suburban, and he took all the data and recreated that, you know, the year-long process to get all the data extracted that he previously testified on.
All right, and is that telemetry data generally synthesized in, or summarized along with other data in your timelines that are admitted in the evidence?
Yes, it is.
Can you compare to for the jury the difference between what the telemetry that that Engineer Fofosky did and the OnStar data that GM recently provided?
The biggest difference you're going to see is on the telemetry data. If you remember, there was that Excel spreadsheet with all the different colors on it. It would show vehicle going into drive or park, moving, propulsion, that kind of stuff. The data we got back from OnStar is mostly a lot of latitude and longitude and speed and different kind of codes and whatnot. There wasn't really any location data in the FBI data. I don't believe there was any for that day. I believe it was all before. But we have mostly, you know, GPS coordinates and whatnot. That's the biggest difference that you're going to see between the reports.
All right. And was the OnStar data recently received generally consistent with the telemetry data that had been developed by the FBI and Falfuski?
It was.
Just more specific?
Just more specific.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 524 to this trial and see if you recognize this document.
I do.
All right, and tell the jury what this is, please.
This was a presentation I created that is based on the GM OnStar data that was received last week for 6-7 of 21 for a 2021 Chevrolet Suburban.
Your Honor, at this time I would offer in the evidence States 524.
Submitted.
All right, I'm gonna, if I could have a computer input, please. I'm going to go ahead and put Exhibit 524 up on the screen, the one we just admitted. Exhibit we just put into evidence?
That is correct.
All right, and that's your name up there, and it's got the CAS program and everything, is that right?
That is correct.
All right, moving on to this next slide, and can you see all right up there?
I can.
All right, if your little screen becomes hard to see, just let me know, and we can have you come down here. Okay. and look at the big one. All right, what's up on this slide? Tell us what this represents to the jury.
What you're going to see up on the slide is going to be three file names that we received from GM. These are all three Excel files. This is what they were labeled to us from GM.
And what does this slide look like?
This is an overview. Do you mind if I step down?
Yeah.
To point out?
This is going to be an overview slide here. Top point is going to be Moselle, the Moselle House property. Bottom left, we're going to have Hampton. Far right is going to be Almeda. There are 4,820 data points that make up these lines here. When you zoom in a couple more slides, you're going to see the individual dots. This just is kind of like an overlay of all of those dots.
Right.
But just for reference, that's where we're at in the map.
And just very quickly, tell the jury, when we're talking about these dots, is that what the CAS report did? Is plot the dots based on the data provided by GM OnStar?
That is correct. Each dot is going to represent a latitude and longitude.
Did you have to manually enter in all 4,820, or how does that work?
I did not. The nice thing about the CAS system is it takes the Excel, you put it all on an Excel spreadsheet, and it does all that for you. Kind of like Google Earth would do in comparison.
All right, this next slide, what is that?
This is the same slide. It's just showing on a different, the last one was like a Google Earth kind of view photo. This is just a regular like map photo. It kind of just says, you know, the location's a little bit easier to read. You got Hampton, Almeda, then you can see Islington.
All right. Go on to this slide. Is this just a general representation where you can see some of the individual dots?
This is going to be the general overview of Moselle. Each little dot is going to either have a single set of data points or multiple set of data points. And this is for the whole day. This is not just for a certain time period. This is going to be for the whole day of June 7th, 2021.
All right. And then again, generally, what does this represent?
This is going to represent in Hampton around the law firm. Each dot is either a single set of data points or multiple set of data points. It's just kind of a zoomed in photo from what we saw previously.
And that's the defendant's former law firm?
That is correct.
All right. And what does this represent?
This is going to be the Almeda property that's been referred to previously. And this is just showing a overview of all the dots for that day.
All right, we're about to get in some slides that have very specific references to dots. And just generally, what are you about to go through with the jury as the specific data points that you're about to relate to them?
So for this presentation, we're going to go through all the different drives that occurred that day. You're going to have a data point and a slide that's going to show you the beginning, couple slides during the drive, and then at the end. And we're going to have a couple different drives that we'll be walking through.
All right, now we're at this slide. What's the title of this slide?
This is Alex leaving for work.
All right, and tell the jury, what image do we see right here on the screen?
So what you're looking at, this is going to be the property 4147 Moselle Road. This is going to be the main entrance. And you can see underneath the little box is going to be the house. You're going to see on the date, it's going to say June 7th, 2021, and this plot is going to be 12:06:47.
All right. Is that what time the Suburban got underway, according to the GM OnStar data?
That is correct. It does match up.
All right. Moving to this next slide, what does this represent?
This next slide is representing his vehicle making a right onto Moselle Road during his drive.
All right. What time is that?
The time is 12:07:40 p.m.
All right, come on down here if you would, just real quick. and explain to the jury this box, and in particular, if there's a little arrow on this box, point that out to them so that they can understand specifically what's being referenced with the blue and white box.
So anytime you see a blue box here, it's a little hard to see, but the little kind of triangle down here, that's where it's pointing to on which you know, red dot it is referring to. So anytime you see the box, look for that little triangle, and that's going to tell you the area that the vehicle, the latitude, longitude correlates with.
All right, I'll have to borrow the stick real quick. So this little blue triangle right there is what we're talking about?
That is correct.
And it's pointing to that little red dot there, is that right?
That's correct.
And we're not going to go through all 4,820 dots, but just representative dots of these various trips, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
I just want to point out quickly, you might see a couple other data points that could be for another trip. You know, sometimes they have the same latitude and longitude, but different times. So you might see a couple different data points, but that's the explanation for that.
All right, and then the one that's highlighted, though, is the one that the information is being referred to right there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And right here, we see what?
We see June 7th, 2021,
all right,
12:07 and 40 seconds p.m.
All right, thank you. All right, before we move on to the next slide, what's the car doing at this point in time?
The car is moving.
All right, and what location is it, just generally in orientation to the property?
Moselle Road, coming out of that main gate.
That driveway?
Main driveway.
Okay. Moving on to the next one, what does this represent?
This is 12:07:42, and this is representing, you're going to see a mile per hour is going to be the new line that just showed up, and this is showing 12 miles an hour the vehicle's traveling.
Generally on these blue boxes is the little arrow at the bottom. Is that kind of in the center bottom in most of these little blue boxes, blue and white boxes?
That is correct.
All right. And some of the entries have a miles per hour reading. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's being recorded by the vehicle and by GM OnStar?
And it's being uploaded to their servers.
All right. And so what was the speed of the defendant's vehicle at this time?
Approximately 12 miles an hour.
Now, on here, it's in reference to miles per hour, because we're Americans, but the data that you got, what unit was it in?
Kilometers.
All right, and so did you convert that data to miles per hour?
In an Excel spreadsheet, yes.
All right, and just plugged in what the conversion is, and it converted to miles per hour?
Yep, you do the equal sign, then you do the conversion, and it converts for you.
All right. All right, going on to this next slide. Is this still on the trip that morning to the law, or that afternoon to the law firm?
That is correct.
All right, and very quickly, tell the jury where we're at.
We are still on Moselle Road. We're past the Godley Farms Road, which would be another reference point.
That's the residence up here at the top?
That is correct.
All right, that's the kennels way up at the very top?
That is correct.
All right, what is the date and time of this reading?
12:08:30, and that is showing approximately 55 miles an hour.
Okay. All right, tell me about this next one.
This is still on the drive to the law firm. This is showing at 12:16 on the dot, and we're showing approximately 60 miles an hour driven.
Right. And where is the arrow on this particular one?
So on this box, the arrow is actually going to be on top, and it's pointing to one of the data points.
The speed again?
Approximately 60 miles an hour.
Going on to slide 13 for the record, what does this reflect?
This is reflecting coming into Hampton to the law firm. And this is actually, if you look, it's pretty much right on top of the law firm. It's 12:21:37, and we have no speed associated.
All right, and then the next slide, slide 14.
This is 12:24:06 with no speed reported. This is when he's arriving. This is the last data point I could find.
All right, so he's arrived at work at that time, correct?
That is correct.
12:46?
12:24:06.
Going to this next slide, explain to the jury what this is, and we're slide 15.
After each drive, we're going to have a slide that's going to show a max speed from all the data sets on Excel. The max speed for his drive from Moselle to the law firm that morning was 12:13:19. The max speed was 65.8 miles per hour, and the average speed of that whole drive was 37.24 miles an hour, and that time was at 12:13:19 during his drive.
All right, we're moving now to slide 16. Tell the jury what this represents.
This one's going to represent Alex leaving work at the law firm, heading to his house. It shows at 6:24:18, and it shows him going 8 miles an hour, just starting to leave.
PM?
PM.
And the speed?
Approximately 8 miles an hour.
Going on slide 17.
This one's showing at 6:26:54 PM. It's showing his Suburban going approximately 42 miles an hour on his drive home. The arrow is going to be on the top right.
And the speed?
It might be cut off a little bit. 42 miles an hour.
All right, and then is that the arrow right there?
That is correct.
All right, at the top?
The top of the screen.
About 42 miles an hour.
That is correct.
Slide 18, what does this reflect?
This is going to reflect at Alex arriving home at 6:42:54 with a miles per hour of zero. This is the last one of the last data points that without speed.
6:42 p.m. arriving back at the residence?
That is correct.
And the arrow is pointing to what?
The residence. A little bit to the side, but it's the residence right there.
All right, and tell the jury now on slide 19, what does this represent?
So this is going to be from his drive home from the law firm to Moselle. It represents at 6:34:01 during his drive. The max speed obtained was 54.4 miles per hour. The average speed during this drive was 41.39 miles an hour. And you can see the location somewhere off of, I believe, 63.
Driving home, what was his max speed?
54.4 miles per hour was the max speed driving home.
All right, slide 20.
All right, so now we're at where Alex is leaving for Alameda. This is going to be 9:07:06 p.m.
Okay. And again, we'll go through the timeline in a bit, but is this generally consistent with some of the telemetry data that Falfoski did?
It is.
Suburban goes underway at what time?
9:07:06, according to this data.
Moving on to the next slide.
Where's
the Suburban at this point?
Like previous slides, this is gonna be the Suburban pulling out onto Moselle Road, coming right out of the main entrance, going about 15 miles an hour. This is gonna be at 9:08:06.
What do we have right here?
This is gonna be 9:08:18 with speeds approximately 37 miles an hour.
Where's the Suburban heading at this point?
Towards Alameda.
All right, slide 23. We have a reference point here. Can you explain what that is to the jury?
So the orange dot, that's going to represent approximately where Maggie Murdaugh's phone was located the following day on June 8th, 2021.
All right, and do we have a time reference for the Suburban at this time?
We do. It's going to be 9:08:36 seconds, and it's showing a speed of 42 miles an hour.
Moving on to the next one, tell the jury what this is.
In the grayish white looking box, you can still see the little circle where it says Maggie Murdaugh's phone location. And right under it's where the pinpoint's gonna be. It's gonna be 9:08:36, 42 miles an hour.
Next slide, 25.
The upper halfway portion of that box, you're gonna see the circle again, the orange circle. That's me, Maggie Murdaugh's phone. And at 9:08:42, we have the Suburban traveling approximately 45 miles an hour.
After passing that location, does the defendant's vehicle start to accelerate?
It does.
Going to slide 26, tell us what this references.
So we also have Maggie Murdaugh's phone location. This is just another data point. There's several throughout the road. This one is showing 9:08:54, 44 miles an hour.
Slide 27.
This is going to show you another overview of this data point in location to Maggie Murdaugh's phone. 9:08:54, 44 miles an hour.
Slide 28.
This one's further down the road past Godley Farms Road, just for a reference point. This is 909.06, traveling 48.6 miles per hour.
Slide 29.
This is another data point in reference to where the phone location is. 909.18 p.m., traveling 49 miles per hour.
And slide 30.
This is going to be another data point at 909.18, traveling approximately 52 miles an hour.
Slide 31.
This is also going to be another one on Moselle Road, coming up to Dobson Road. It's going to be 909.24 p.m., traveling approximately 52 miles an hour.
And then slide 32.
This is also going to be another data point on that road, 909.42, traveling approximately 54 miles an hour on Moselle Road.
All right, going to slide 33. Has our sort of map orientation changed?
It has. This is still on the drive to Alameda. I believe this is going to be 63 or Snyder's Highway or Walterboro Highway. This is at 9:13:30 p.m., showing a speed of 68 miles an hour on that drive to Alameda.
All right. I'm going back to slide 3. I'll do that real quick. And the slide that we were just seeing when the orientation changes, can you come down real quick and kind of describe generally what we were looking at when we started and then the where we're at on that slide that we were just about to look at?
All right, so where we started on this drive would have been right up here, 4147 Moselle Road.
Not sure everyone can see it.
4147 Moselle Road. This would have been Moselle Road that we just showed all those data points. Would have made a right onto Dobson Road and then a right onto 63 Snyder's Highway. It's approximately somewhere around here on Snyder's Highway where that data point we just looked at.
All right, returning to slide 33. All right.
And right there is going to be approximately where the data point is at.
Okay, and what's the speed there?
68.7 miles per hour.
Going on to slide 34.
This is going to be at 9:14:36, showing approximate speed of 69.4 miles per hour. It's going to be on the top portion.
All right, moving on to slide 35.
This is going to be at 9:16:48, showing approximately 70 miles an hour. It's going to be the top portion of your screen here, coming into Varnville.
All right, and down at the bottom center of the screen, what is that? Right here.
That is going to be the Alameda property, and just to reference, this is going to be coming into Varnville.
All right, right here, what do we have on slide 36?
This is going to be the Alameda property. You can kind of see it behind the other record part, but it's showing at 9:22:06. His Suburban's pulling, making a left into the Alameda property.
Slide 37, what do we see here? First of all, orient the jury as to what the map image reflects and then describe the data point, please.
So the map image is going to reflect, you're going to make a left into the driveway. There's a railroad track, I believe here. It's a curved driveway coming in. And then right here is going to be the house. This is there's a little carport right here. And then the driveway is this whitish part that you see on your screen.
All right, and then up here, generally in the property, we can see a roof and that sort of thing. What generally are those?
Those are going to be some outbuildings on the property. The trees are kind of, there's a decent amount of trees right here, but there's, I believe, two outbuildings right here.
This white area right here just above the house, what is that?
That's going to be where you would park. It's a paved area in front of the carports.
Where do the data points reflect the Suburban going, though, when it arrives?
The data points for the Suburban, it looks like it went toward like a little bit into the grass closer to the wood line over here, and that's going to be at 9:22:39
closer to the wood line and the outbuildings.
That'd be correct.
Sure. All right, and again, what time is the arrival at Alameda?
9:22:39. And this is just so that this right here is going to be a better overview without
the box.
You can see right here is going to be the driveway leading in. And this is where a carport would be, where the vehicles would be parked. And then this is the main house here. and you have your outbuildings.
Right here we have kind of a line of data points right there in the grassy area behind the house?
We do.
All right, going on to slide 39, tell the jury what those calculations represent, please.
So this is going to represent the drive from Moselle to Almeda. During that drive, the Suburban reached a max speed of 74.4 miles per hour during that drive and averaged 51.94 miles per hour. And this is the data point with the highest speed obtained.
Was that top speed higher than any speed he achieved when he went to work earlier that day?
That is correct.
Is that average speed higher than any average speed he had when he went to work that day?
That is correct.
Or returned from work?
That is correct. Let me stay down here.
You can go back up. Thank you. That max speed again is what on the trip to Almeda?
74.4 miles per hour.
And the time again that he arrived?
At Almeda?
Yes.
I believe it's going to be 9:20.
Let me back up.
If you go back.
We're back up to?
9:22:39. So 9:22:39, he reached his max speed at 9:14:13.
On June 7th, 2021 at 9:22 p.m. is it dark?
That is correct.
All right, we're going on to slide 40. Please tell the jury what this represents.
This is going to represent at 9:43:18. This is when we first saw movement. And this would be Alex leaving Almeda en route back to 4147 Moselle Road. It's shown approximately 2 miles an hour.
All right, and the time again?
9:43:18.
The arrival time that you just testified?
That's correct.
What was the arrival time that
9:22.
You testified? 9:22. And he's leaving at what time?
9:43.
So approximately how long?
20 minutes.
Going on to slide 41, let me ask you this. Does the data reflect that the car pauses for a period of time while in that driveway area of Almeda?
It does, about halfway between on the driveway.
Come on down and show the jury your way. I just sent you back, I'm sorry.
So halfway during on this, so this is a driveway right here. So this is the driveway, just for reference. We see what it looks like a data point, I believe, right here. And if we click on that data point, it's going to be about a minute until this data point will show up leaving the property.
All right. And then on slide 41, we have a, what's the time stamp that you have on that one? And show the arrow to the jury, too, please.
Yep, 9:45:22. And the arrow is going to be all the way down at the bottom, right across the railroad tracks, turning onto MSC Highway.
Right, at 9:45.
That is correct, 9:45:22.
All right, moving on to slide 42. Please tell the jury what this data point represents.
This slide's gonna show you the drive back from Almeda to Moselle. This is just a data point on MSC Highway. It's 9:46:01, and on this one doesn't have a speed.
Going to slide 43.
This is also
going to orient the jury and tell them the data point, please.
So on the bottom, you have Almeda going through Varnville and then heading up to Moselle. This is at 9:51:30. This is showing approximate speed of 74 miles an hour. It's going to be the top portion of that box.
That's the arrow at the top center?
That's correct.
Slide 44. Please tell the jury what this data point represents.
Top of the map, you're going to see Moselle, and this is going to be on 63. This is going to be at 9:54:24. We have approximately 70 miles an hour.
And the arrow is located where?
It's going to be on the bottom.
Slide 45, what do you have right here?
This is going to be at 9:59:18. This is Moselle Road coming up to Godley Farms Road, for reference. Top portion on the left is going to be the Moselle property. This is at 9:59:18, showing a speed of 57 miles an hour.
All right, we've moved on to slide 46. Tell me about that one, please.
So this is going to be the arrival into Moselle. This is showing 10 o'clock on the dot, showing 7 miles an hour, making a left into the main driveway.
10 o'clock on the dot?
That is correct.
And slide 47?
This is about 30 seconds later. This is 10 o'clock. This is about halfway down the driveway of the main house, showing 22 miles an hour.
All right. Slide 48, tell the jury about the calculations reflected on this slide.
So this is going to be from his drive back from Almeda to Moselle Road. The max speed that was obtained during that drive was at 9:51, 43 seconds, was 80 miles an hour. The average speed was 46.52 miles an hour during that drive.
Is that average going to also include that minute where the car paused at the driveway in Almeda?
That's correct.
The top speed was what?
80.16 miles an hour.
And at this time period, would it have been dark outside?
It would.
Let me ask you this. You're a law enforcement officer that works in this area of the state, correct?
That is correct.
And have you, during the course of your law enforcement career, have to respond to emergencies or call for services and that sort of thing?
That is correct.
All right. And this particular road that we've been talking about, these roads, have they recently been paved?
They have.
And was that after the murders occurred on June 7th, 2021?
They were.
Or were you familiar with the condition of the roads and what they were like on that route prior to them being repaved?
I am.
All right. And tell the jury what running code is. If you have an emergency or a call for service, an emergency, what is running code?
Running code is where you activate your blue lights and siren and you go above the posted speed limit at a safe fashion to get to your arrival in a safe manner.
That's when the cops turn on the lights and they're heading to the scene.
Yep, blue lights and sirens.
All right. And you're traveling as fast as you possibly can and still be reasonably safe, is that correct?
That is correct.
And have you had call prior to this road being paved to run code down that road?
That's correct.
All right. Would you at night, or did you ever at night, on the roads as they existed at the time of June 7th, 2021, run in code with your lights on, run 80 miles an hour down that road?
I would not, no.
And why not? Tell the jury why not.
Due to the time of night, the heavy deer population out there, as everyone could probably see, I mean, deer will run out all the time. And especially with all your lights, it attracts the deer. So it's actually worse having your blue lights on sometimes. The deer actually are kind of attracted to that light. And then also the road conditions, the road was, you know, was very, a lot of potholes and...
Was the defendant's top speeds on both the trip to and from Almeda in excess of any max speed in his trips previous in the day?
That'd be correct. Posted speed limit is 55 on 63.
All right, we've gone on now to slide 49, and tell the jury what this represents.
This is going to be a timestamp of 10:05:06 p.m., and this is showing Alex Murdaugh leaving for the kennels.
And where's the dot on this particular slide?
The dot's going to be on the bottom towards the middle, right by the house.
Moving on to slide 50, tell me what this represents.
This is also showing the drive over to the kennels. The timestamp of this is 10:05:39.
And where's the arrow?
The arrow is going to be on the bottom. You kind of see it by the field.
All right, going on to slide 51, what does this represent?
This is just saying the max speed was obtained 28 miles an hour at 10:05:49 during that trip.
Okay. And then slide 52.
This is showing the Suburban arriving at the kennels 10:05:57 p.m.
Backing up still on slide 52, can you remind the jury, and we'll talk more about this with the timeline in a minute, but generally what time was the 911 call?
10:06. I do not know the seconds.
All right. And to your recollection, during the 911 call, did the defendant say he was returning back to the residence during that 911 call?
He did.
All right. And so we're on slide 53. What does this reflect?
This would be him heading back to the house around 10:11:54.
All right, slide 54.
This is just also showing him driving back to the house at 10:12:18 p.m.
All Slide 55.
It's just another slide at 10, 12, 30 p.m. showing 32 miles an hour.
And where's the dot?
The dot is going to be on the bottom, and it's going to be on the main drive to the house.
Slide 56.
This is going to be at 10, 13, 54, showing 2 miles an hour, and it's right next to the house.
All right. Slide 57.
This is just showing on that max speed from going from the kennels back to the house. It was at 10, 12, 19, and the Suburban reached 35.78 miles an hour, approximately.
Slide 58.
This is just showing the drive back down to the kennels. This is during the 911 call at 10, 14, 30 p.m., showing approximately 24 miles an hour.
And then the final slide in this exhibit, what is that?
This is just showing the max speed at 10, 14, 25 of 30 miles an hour during that drive.
Does that complete your placing of those GM OnStar data points into the CAS program and these slides that you relate to the jury?
It does.
Your Honor, I'd about to move on to another exhibit. This lengthy, this might be a good time. I would request or suggest a break at this time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break at this time. Please do not discuss the case.
That wraps up segment number two of our continuing coverage of the trial of Alec Murdaugh, day number 18, here on the 17th of February, 2023. There's more to come. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No